Every cannonball starts with a jump, and you might know, if you're new around here, maybe not, this church, we call it a church for everyone, started when 12 people decided to jump. They did a cannonball all the way from San Diego to Utah. We wanted to start a church where everyone could be a part of it. Everybody could belong, even before you believe. It'd be a place where anybody could come and explore and find out, how does Jesus feel about me? What does it mean to have a walk with Jesus? If you're brand new, this is a great series to jump in. You'll learn more about Eastlake over the next few weeks than you would have learned in months and months and months. And Cannonball is about an attitude. Here's a line right here. If we decide to give more of our attention to God, he'll do amazing things. So Cannonball is saying what my life would look like if it looked like a cannonball. So say I need to forgive someone. What if my life looked like a cannonball? What if there's a relationship that needs to be restored, a friendship or something in my family? I really want that relationship to get back on track. What if my life looked like a cannonball? What if generosity in my life looked like a cannonball? And when I hit the water, all the waves went out and all the different people. What if my walk with God looked like a cannonball? Right. Now grab your book. You should have got a book when you came in, or you had one from last week. We're saying, hey, do these things. Try to make it every Sunday. Go to the eDevo section. Download those. They'll send them every week. Those are cool. And bring your book. So bring your book. Turn to page 42 today. Today we're talking about dreams. So how do I cannonball into the dreams that I have in my life? Here's a simple definition. You can just write it in the margin of your book. Dreams. A dream is something that hasn't happened yet, but we live like it will happen. What type of dream do you have for your finances? What type of dream do you have for your children, your marriage, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your parents as they get older? What type of dreams do you have? And you know, big dreams, when you have a big dream in your life, it can be a little intimidating. You can think, well, I don't know if those dreams can ever happen or will ever happen for me. You have big dreams. And do you have any big dreams in your life, and they just seem almost preposterous? It's like hilarious. Like when you think about those dreams, you're like, yeah, I want that to happen. That is so big. That's never going to happen for me. Or is there anybody in your life you have a dream for? You have a dream for them, or maybe they have a dream, and you're wondering. There's a mom at Eastlake Church, and she sent this in, a mom at Eastlake, talking about dreams. My youngest son came home and told me that he wanted to win first place in a speech contest. He might as well have told me that he wanted to play in the NBA. He's quiet. He doesn't like being the center of attention. He can barely look at people in the eye when they talk with him. I tried to tell him how hard it would be to win this contest, but he was undeterred. And then a friend of me told me to stop fretting and start believing in him and his dream. So I did. 2 weeks later, our whole family was sitting in the back of the school auditorium, hearts racing, as he took the stage in front of 500 classmates. This quiet, introverted boy suddenly morphed into a dynamic speaker. We were shocked at how well he engaged the crowd. When he called his name as the first place winner, the audience went wild. Our family jumped out of our seats and cheered even more wildly. My son had dreamed a big dream. You know, God has dreams for you, and they're big dreams, and here's why they're big dreams. Just jot in the margin. God will give you a big dream so we don't forget that we need him, that we need his help. When you have a really big dream, oh, I want my marriage to be better than the last one. I want to be able to raise these teenagers. How are we going to blend this family? How are we going to get a home? How am I going to get my health back? Big dreams. When they're super, super big and God gives them to me, it's because he wants me to remember that I need him for them to accomplish. I need his help. He's inviting. I'll help you. And my wife had some people over the other day, and she gets this big white table that we have, big, heavy, super heavy white table, big round table, and wants to bring it upstairs. So we put it upstairs so all her friends can be around, different people that she had over. They're making lumpia, this really cool little, some kind of an egg roll. I don't know, that Asian stuff's all the same to me. But anyways, just playing. But so anyways, they're making lumpia. And so they get done, and my wife says, hey, could you help me take the table back down to the basement? You know, break the table down, you know? So this big white table. I break it down, and there's me right there. There's the big table right there, the big white table. So I roll it over to the stairs that go down to the basement, and my wife said, wait a minute, you need me to help you carry that down there. Like, well, I'm like, yeah, right. I don't need your help to carry this, you know. I'll take it down myself. Big, huge white table. So I get it to the top of the stairs, and I take a step, and I lift it up, and I'm like, it's kind of heavy. And I hear her voice in the back of my head, you need my help. And I'm like, oh, now I don't want to prove I do, you know. Then I had a flash of insight. I'll just roll it down the stairs. So I get it started at the top, and I roll it down about 2-3 steps, and it's this heavy table, and it starts going sideways. And the momentum of that thing started going so fast, I'm like hopping down the stairs with this thing. It got away from me. And it rolled all the way down the stairs and crashed into the wall. And whose voice do you think I heard? I told you needed my help. You better not have put a hole in that wall. Man, I raced down to the bottom, and this is how I know God loves me. He must have sent angels. There was no hole or even a scratch in that wall. Now, here's the moral of the story. Some things are too big for us, but we still need them to happen. And we need God's help, and he wants to help us. It's too big for us, but he wants to help us. Now, grab your book again, look inside. Here's the first fill-in, and it's a pretty good one. Jesus gave his disciples a big dream. Remember, big dreams so you won't forget me. That's God's perspective. Big dreams. After the resurrection, Jesus gathers 120 people. Do you know Christianity began with 120 people? Like after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, Jesus gathers everybody up in Jerusalem. Everybody that's with me, we're going to start this thing. And he gave them a big dream. And I'll read it to you. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses, first here in Jerusalem, then beyond Judea and Samaria, and finally to the furthest places on the earth. Big dream. Remember, big dream, don't forget God's a part of it. Jesus starts with saying, before I tell you the dream, remember, God's with you. Who's forgotten? You already cashed your dream in long ago. It's never going to happen. I'll never be able to do that because you look at your life and it does make sense. I'll never be able to do that. Or you try it and the table crashes into the wall and it teaches you don't try that again. God starts by saying, remember, you'll have the power you need for the big dream. Through the Holy Spirit. It's not just in your strength. And listen to the dream. This is a mind-boggling dream. He says, if he'd have just said Jerusalem, I don't know what your dreams are, but this is a big dream. 100,000 people live in Jerusalem. That's 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, a city of 100,000 was ginormous. It was like our whole Salt Lake Valley. So what if Jesus came to you and said, now here's your assignment. You have to take flyers to every house in Salt Lake Valley. I was like, wow. That's huge, you know. But he didn't just say that. He said Salt Lake Valley, and then you're going to go to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and then Oklahoma City, and then New York City, and then Hong Kong, and then Tokyo. That's the size of the dream. At that point, you're laughing. You're like, God, I don't know if I could even do my neighborhood. It's a big dream. Ginormous dreams come from God because the only way they can occur is with his help. Do you know he started the whole thing? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Do you know the whole thing that Jesus started? 12 people? Then 120 people? And he stands in front of them and says, this is going to go all over the world. It's even going to reach Utah someday. That's how big the dream was. Have any big dreams? Big things you want to see happen in your life? They almost seem silly. When we started this church, our big dream was to have a family center. We actually believe that someday we're going to have property and a facility. We're going to be able to do the church services there. That's awfully hard when you're 12 people meeting down at the community center in a little room upstairs. Big dream. Write this in your notes. Where God guides, God provides. Big dream, a family center. A place where you could do the weekend services and you'd have a counseling program for families and you'd have marriage seminars and parenting workshops, and you'd have places where people could learn about managing their finances and how to blend their families together, how to get through a divorce into the next marriage. It'd be great. It's a super cool place. We feel like it'd be perfect for, like, serving our community and places where people could find and follow Jesus. Big dream. You have any? No way they're going to happen unless God weighs in. Big dreams. But can you imagine if someday somebody was driving down 5600 and they said, there's the spot right there. My wife and I were completely on the rocks. It was like no chance. And someone said, go there. We got into a counseling program with someone and we saw some stuff and we're together to this day. There's the place right there where my family was flying apart. My teens were going crazy. And I got some help on how to parent them. It was right there that that happened. Finances were like shot. And they taught me. I remember, here's the one I always, this is one of my big dreams. Someone says this. I was in the service listening to the music, and I don't know what happened. My eyes started to water up, and all of a sudden I felt forgiven of something that I thought I would never feel forgiven of. Those are my dreams. Wouldn't it be awesome? It's a big dream. God gives a big dream because it anticipates his participation. Now, what is it like if we cannonball through the sky? In your fill-ins, write this. Big dreams will change our questions. Boy, and they sure do. What am I questioning about life? What do I need to see happen? What do I want to see happen? When you have a big dream, you're cannonballing into a big dream, make some big waves. Read this part of the Bible. Then this message came to Jeremiah from the Lord. I am the Lord, the God of all peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me? Here's my question for me. What would you attempt for God if you knew you couldn't fail? Somehow I could convince you. Show you like an iPod or an iPad, and it showed you the future, and you were attempting to do something for God, and I could prove it to you that you wouldn't fail. What would you attempt? Can you imagine how you'd rearrange things? Tell you a story about William Carey. He's not famous in the United States, super famous in India. He was in the 18th century, he was a cobbler, a shoemaker, worked with leather. God came to him with this big dream. I'm gonna send you to India, and you're going to tell people in India about Jesus. How'd you like that? I have a little side project for you. You're going to go to India. That's a big dream. He had to ask all kinds of different questions. Well, do I need to learn a different language? What type of physical condition do I need to be in? How much schooling do I need to get? How much money do I need to save? How do I prepare myself? I mean, God comes and says, here's the big dream. You're going to take the message of Jesus to India. Oh, man. And he did it. He went there and he founded universities. He translated parts of the scriptures in their books. He helped him with medical care. The message of Jesus went all through India. And do you know, there's a monument in India. That monument, there's two people. One of them is Gandhi, which makes perfect sense. You think India, you think Gandhi. Of course, the monument to Gandhi. The other is William Carey. Two people in India. Gandhi, William Carey. And he has this great statement. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. What questions would change? If you knew you couldn't fail. The Bible says, aren't I God? Can't I do everything? What do you need to see happen in your future? You want to get married. You want to outrun some old hurt. You want to have a clean slate. You want your heart to be different. You want to buy something someday. What is it? It's huge. You want this really cool, super good job. Whatever. How big is it? Don't be me in the white table. God wants to help. Now, number two, write in your book, big dreams will change our prayers. How I pray for people. I told you one time about my friend, Kathy Kima. She was the receptionist at our church, and she was blind. I had never known anybody who was blind nor had a friend, and I got to be super good friends with her. And so we would talk back and forth, and at some point it was very natural for her to talk to me about what life was like being blind. Now, Kathy grew up with her eyesight almost all her life. She had her eyesight. She had diabetes. Late into her 20s, she lost her eyesight, and then she became Christian. And I asked her one day, I said, Kathy, what's it like to keep praying and praying and praying and praying for your eyesight, and God has never done it? I mean, how do you feel about God? He's never answered your prayers, never gave you back your eyesight. And she paused and she said, Robin, that's not my number one prayer. My number one prayer is that my dad would come to know Jesus. He doesn't know how much God loves him. He's still running. Has all kinds of wrong ideas about God. He sees him in ways that aren't anything true, and he won't turn to God because of that. I pray for him, and I pray that my number one prayer. Do you know that when you have big dreams, it'll change the way you pray? How do you pray? I need a bigger paycheck. Make these kids shut up. Help me pass this test. Make her like me. That was my big dream back in the day. What's yours? Big dreams change the way you pray. This is what it says in our book. If you don't have all the wisdom needed for this journey, then all you have to do is ask God for it. I don't have the wisdom how to get through my marriage. I don't know how to get through this job. I don't know how to get a job. Whatever it is. Ask God for it. And God will grant you all that you need. He gives lavishly and never scolds you for asking. Don't you love to get a chocolate sundae where they put the syrup on lavishly? I hate it when they give you a little half a scoop. It's like, here's your chocolate. Come on, man. 5 scoops. I want it running off the side so you have to use a washcloth after you're done serving me. Lavishly is what the Bible says. He will provide for you. Now, number 3. Big dreams will change others. This crazy teacher gets this class, and in this class of junior hires, the names of all her students are listed alphabetically, and next to each name is a number, and they're high. Every number is high. It's like 160, 167, 183. And she looks at the list, and she says, whoa. I've got like a, she thinks it's their IQ. It's not. It's their locker numbers. But she doesn't know that. She thinks she has a class of geniuses. This is a true story. The first day of class, she stood before him and she said, man, you are a special group. I am so grateful that I have the gifted kids in the school. And she outlined everything they were going to do. She completely rewrote the curriculum. You know, at the end of the year, at the awards ceremony, her class swept all the academic awards and she got Teacher of the Year. Can you imagine how surprised she was? She stands up in front of the entire school and says, I didn't really do anything. It's not really about me. I mean, I was given such a gifted class. The administrator talked to her afterwards over punch and cookies. Said, what did you mean by gifted class? She goes, you know what I meant. You gave me all this intelligent, high IQ. You gave me all the gifted kids. It's like, why do you think that? Well, the first day of class, I was reading through the roll of all the students, and I saw the next to their name, their IQs, the number that he goes, that was their locker numbers. But that's not how she saw them. She was cannonballing the whole year. Do you know a cannonball will cause me to see other people differently, which oftentimes causes them to act differently? You treat your kids like a thief, they'll steal. You treat them like they're liars, they'll lie. You treat your husband like he's unfaithful, he'll be probably. Who do you see at work and all you see is a scoundrel? And they probably are. But when you plug into God and you do a cannonball, you see people differently. Oh, she'll never change. She's always going to be this way. I got to get out of this marriage. It's like, whatever. This boss is such a liar. You can tell yourself those stories and they might be true. Or you can decide to cannonball and look at people differently. Look at them how God sees them, created in his image, special. It'll change how you treat other people. Who's in your family? They're the black sheep. Oh, Uncle Bill. He'll be drunk by 1. If we're lucky. Oh, Aunt Martha. She's been married 5 times and now she's dating a younger man. How do you see people? This is what this series is about. Check in. It's about aligning our heart with how God sees people. Aligning our heart in a way that's different. Look at what the Bible says. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Just like the teacher. She saw them a certain way, and she shared with them a certain way, and they acted a certain way. Now, the fourth thing, big dreams will change me. Listen to the Bible. Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power to work within us to accomplish infinitely more. There's a cannonball, man. That's huge. Infinitely more. 1, 2, 3, dot, dot, dot. Infinitely more. And then we might ask or think, glory to him in the church and Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. For everybody that said, oh, I wish I could have the good old days back then. Every generation gets their chance. Jesus did the first cannonball when he came from heaven to earth. And he came for every person, everyone. Nobody's excluded. Everyone can have more than they could think or ask. What do you want to ask about your marriage? What do you want to ask about your parenting? What do you want to ask about yourself as a boyfriend or a girlfriend or as a worker? Infinitely more. Now here's the change. Jesus put it in this context. In Cannonball, we're also talking about finances, how that connects to who we are. Here's Jesus. Don't store up for yourselves here on earth where moth eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Now here's what Jesus was saying in a nutshell. He says you don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be willing to give God this. And with the heart is all of me. My personality, my intelligence, my soul, my emotions, my background, my hurts, my hang-ups, the good things about me, the whole thing right here, this me, my heart. Open it to God and give it to him. That's all. And Jesus is saying an interesting thing about money. He's saying whatever has this gets this. There's a connection. There's a leverage point. Whatever has this gets this. But he's also saying that you can change this by directing this. What has your heart? Isn't it true it probably gets this? When I first started dating Clarice, I was so dang poor. I was a student. I didn't have any money at all, hardly at all. But she had this. And she got whatever was in here. Wasn't much, but she got it all. Every date, I did the best I could. I used to go to 7-Eleven, and she had a special coffee that she liked made a certain way. I would go to 7-Eleven back in the day of gourmet coffee, and I'd go there, and I would make her this special coffee that she liked. I spent all my money. So when I went to pick her up, my gas tank was on E, but she got the special coffee. She got all of this. Why? She had this. Isn't it true? Now, Cannonball is saying this. He's saying, Jesus says something really neat. He says, I may not have this, but you can cause this to change by the way you direct this. There is a connection. It's the good news. You could change your heart by the way you direct your money.